This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a long-time tradition. It started back in 1979. This is our final sports line of the 2023-2024 school year. And how we're going to end it is with the guy that has been here since 1979, John Hoscheid, who is officially retiring, I think, effective August 1st. I'm not going to bury the lead here. And then coming back and doing his final football broadcast will be week two of the high school football season. And what a way to go out when Mercer County plays Sherrard down at Pratt Memorial Field. So that'll be your last memory of WRMJ. What do you think your very first memory, John Hoscheid, was of WRMJ?
Well, it was putting it on the air. Like I said, that the day that it was to go on the air, June 12th, Dave Hutchins and I were literally at 3:30 in the morning assembling a final storage unit, and we got it all done and went to put it up against the wall and realized we put it on backwards. So we had to take it down and redo it and put it back up. And then that morning, the music sounded like a Nickelodeon. And we're like, what is going on? And we called Fred Hanel, our engineer. He was over here at the Blue Spruce. And Fred listened to us and our music. And he says, okay. He said, look at the turntable and the needle, you know, the stylus. And he says, are the wires blue to blue or red? Red? And we told him how they were, whichever they were. And he goes, ah, that's wrong. He says, it should be the other way. So we changed the wires on the stylus and the music sounded normal. And so that was the first getting on the air situation.
And I was thinking today, but I don't want to forget this story because I thought it was like so hilarious last night. So it's like, to me, it was like almost a full circle moment. And one of my great memories of you, I'm praying that someone from the Conway family is listening right now, whether it be Colin or Sean or Judge Conway. I noticed there was a Riverdale person that commented on our Facebook page asking how he could listen to the game. And the guy's name was Dick Blair. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the head coach of Riverdale when Michael O'Brien scored those like 9 touchdowns the year he was a freshman, the first game he ever played. And I thought that was that's one of my first initial memories of high school football on WRMJ. That night I'm like, holy smokes, he scored 9 touchdowns and you and Chuck were just going so crazy. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then I thought about it and I'm like, man, that was like way back in probably like 1994 or 95 or something like that.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable night. I mean, we knew he was a child prodigy, so to speak, but we thought, well, is he going to play varsity ball? And no, we're going to keep him with the Frost-Off team. And then he just tears up Riverdale in the Frost-Off game. And somebody was hurt, so they needed him at the varsity level.
Well, because I was going to reply to him and say, hey, remember Michael O'Brien? Har, har, har. And then I thought, too, you know, coming in here today, from an impact standpoint, who had like the biggest impact on you broadcasting wise coming in? Because I'll tell everybody here right now, I went to school at Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville, mass communication degree, but John Hoscheid's had the biggest impact on my broadcasting career in terms of what I learned. So I'll say that first up. So thank you for that. But I thought, who's had the biggest impact broadcasting wise, at least like early in your age? Was there somebody you leaned on, or what did you think?
No, I didn't really have anybody that I confided in. I just kind of winged it in college. As a matter of fact, my baseball coach, Itchy Jones, I was telling him, you know, what my goals were other than playing pro ball. And I couldn't, it was hard to work because of baseball took so much time. And so he said, here's what you need to do. He says, you need to take a cassette recorder and go to the top of the SIU arena and call the SIU basketball games. And then have a professor or you listen to it and see how you did. And I did that. And then I did get a job breaking NCAA rules back then, because you weren't supposed to get paid to work, because Itchy one day said, are you getting paid to work at WCIL? Oh, yeah, you can't get paid. How much have you been paid so far?
How things changed in college athletics now.
Yeah, Itch goes, well, how much have you gotten paid so far? Oh, I think maybe $150. Oh, okay, that's not too bad. He said, just tell them they can't pay you anymore. But and then there was a guy named Randy Jackson. He was the SIU play-by-play guy. And a guy named Rick Riz, who I was a classmate of mine. And Rick went on, he was the voice of Seattle Mariners and the Detroit Tigers in Major League Baseball for many years. I think he's retired now. But anyway, so I was doing basketball with helping Randy. I was the statistician, and I did the halftime and the postgame show, giving the stats and all that stuff. And Rick was the color guy. Well, in the middle of the season, Randy left. So Rick took over the play-by-play, and I took over the color. And so I did the SIU home games on radio. The rest of my senior year. So that really helped. But yeah, no, and I never did football. You know, I didn't play football. Henry didn't have football. And when Roger interviewed me to come here, you know, you can do play by play, can't you? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, and he might even specifically say, football. Oh yeah, oh I can do football. Sure.
So, but then how did you? Because I don't think I've ever heard the story. Then so you. You played how many years professionally?
3.
So how did you find out then? What was the connection to get to, I guess, Monmouth, where you started at, right? That's where Roger Coleman had the station at.
Yeah.
How did you get from professional baseball? How did you learn about that position?
Well, I got released in September of 76. No, 78. And I had put together a resume. And I'd also went back 2 years after I graduated to get my teaching certificate. So I picked up classes to teach history or social studies the first off season, and the second off season I student taught, so I could teach and coach too. And there was a job opening at Aurora Central Catholic to be the baseball coach and coach history, and I applied for that and I didn't get it. And I needed a job because Joe and I were getting married that next August. And so.
And she was from that area, right? Aurora?
Yeah, she was from Aurora. So anyway, so then my resume was just out there. And then Roger just called me one day. I said, I see your resume here on the Illinois Broadcasters, whatever site. And would you like to come up? Here's what I'm doing. I'm putting a station on in a town called Alito, Illinois, but it's not quite ready yet. And he had lost his news director. And he said, so first he came up and I interviewed, and then he said, here's the deal. I'm putting the station on in May or June, and I need someone here in Monmouth to do news, and then you'll go to Alito when Alito's ready to go. So I went to Monmouth and I was the news director.
Did you live in Monmouth at
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, on Broadway in a house.
No,
apartment on Broadway, so down from Monmouth
when
College.
He found, so I'm assuming it was like a newsletter in 1979 or something, yeah, like that, like mm-hmm. from the Illinois Broadcasters Association.
Yeah, some place where a posting where you put resumes.
So were you familiar at all like with this area,
no.
or was it kind of brand new when you came here?
Brand new. I mean, I was from Henry, which is over by Peoria. I'd never been on the western side of the state at all, no.
So, and I think most people know, so the first sports broadcast was Alito Galvin.
John told me that last year, and I was surprised. That's a great like history of the station factor.
Yeah, and that was a wild one because, of course, I told Roger I could do football, and I could no more do football than the man in the moon. I still have it. It's in that file. I showed Ty this, and anybody who's done football. There's a – you remember the magazine, what's it called, Sports – not Sports Digest, but it was a weekly sports magazine with like in newspaper, yeah. you know, and it had, you know, have articles on the players of the day. Well, one article in there one week was the ABCs of football.
That's where that's from.
That's where that's from.
Yeah, I see that's in like all of our yeah. folders.
So it lays it all out and it shows all the formations. This is the T formation. Yeah. This is the wishbone. This is the wing T. And then it told you what the intricacies of each offense were. And then there were the defensive formations. And so I studied up on that as best I could. But, yeah, that first game, Galva, like, let's say, and I think we did too, we ran some kind of wing T or some formation. I had no idea where the where the football was. I was just, roll it. Well, there he goes. And just I was struggling
but,
pretty bad.
And that's like the biggest adjustment, though, for people that have never done it. Because I remember when I came out of college and I came here and I went with you. The first game I ever went to was Westmer was playing Hamilton. And they were playing in Joy.
Yeah.
And that was when they had, like, the old press box on the visitor side, yeah. that mm-hmm. really small little crow's nest, and you're yeah. down low. And I'm like, how in the heck is he seeing the football
yeah.
in this?
Yeah.
I mean, because it takes
oh, yeah.
a while to get accustomed to that. But when did you think you really – did it take, like, the first season where you really got the hang of it? Or where did you think you felt there was a pretty good rhythm?
Yeah, at the end of the first season, but I felt I still needed to improve. I feel I've improved a lot. I still get upset sometimes. Like I said, you know, that's why I need Coach Breeden or Chuck or somebody, because I still or the sideline reporter, because I'm looking down there and I sometimes go, are they in a 6-2 or a 5-3 or, you know, and all this
but,
kind of stuff.
And you can say
but
that
following all, the play.
Yeah, but you can say that all you want. But here's the thing when I listen, and I always joke and I'll send John like random texts. So the one thing that I think is always effective, this is the most effective way to do it. Hey, keep it as simple as possible. People, when they tune in, what do they want? They want to know. What's the score, right? How much time's left in the game, basically?
Right.
Anytime me or you tune into the radio and we're listening to a game, and I remember I told you this year I was listening to the Iowa women's broadcast on the radio through the Hawkeye Network, and I was listening for like the first 7 minutes of the broadcast. I'm like, the guy's not saying the score. What's right. the score?
Yeah, the old egg timer thing. Take an egg timer, and every time it runs out, make sure yeah. you give the score. Yeah.
So when you look back at some of the top like memories of like since this is like sports related will yeah. kind of stick as we say yeah. hashtag
stick to sports
yeah, yeah. I mean what are some of the do you think you have like a favorite game you broadcast, like one where you say, man, I really feel good about this? Because I'll never forget the one time the like how self-critical one can be. I was leaving with John and we were walking out of the Memorial Stadium at Champaign, and it was the week with Central A&M game.
Yeah.
And we were walking down the walkway, and you were like saying, man, I don't think I did a very good job on my ball. And I'm like, what, man? This was like a tremendous like broadcast in terms. That was the final call where Mawique with Central A&M, they're trying to accomplish something at the end of the game. And I thought the description was like, I thought it was one of the best like pictures you can paint of a game where they're trying to get something accomplished. But you were self-critical of it, and I thought that was – and we're all our own worst critic. But I think about – you, what do you think really stands out, some of the top moments for you broadcasting-wise, your high school sports, what
yeah.
you've done?
Well, in football, tough couple three games. The Byron game against Alito at George Pratt when Byron had that quarterback, Padgett.
Glenn Padgett,
man. Glenn Padgett. That was an unbelievable ball game. And then the double overtime Mercer County Rockridge game
yeah.
at George Pratt. And then I was thinking of this, then the state championship game against Farmington. That was, or not Farmington, Carthage.
Yeah.
And one of the things I remember about that is, okay, the game's done and we stopped at a restaurant in Champaign after the game to eat. And there were a bunch of Carthage people in there. And those, I mean, you thought it was a funeral. I mean, it was. I felt bad for them. They were sitting there in this the saddest faces. They weren't talking. They just were sitting at their booths, just staring at their food. Just, and I just thought, oh well, that's the agony of defeat right. there.
And I know I want to say too, like I was so glad that it worked out that you got to broadcast that Mercer County Rock Ridge Regional.
Yeah, I was
championship
really glad.
Basketball game. Yeah. That was such, you know, obviously a great game, but like we played it the next day, and I was listening, and it was like, you know, when you like broadcast games for the station, it just is like, it's WRMJ. I kept telling my dad, I was like, that just sounds like classic WRMJ stuff. And that was such a great broadcast. And it was so fun listening to that.
Oh, I was, when your dad said, you're not going to believe this, I got to go to a party that night. I said, I can't believe he picked that night.
Yeah, my fiance wanted to pop the question to the night of the regional championship.
Your daughter's fiance.
Because I always would kid people. I said, once Jim got here, of course, I didn't, it relieved me from having to do basketball except for filling in and doing stuff. And I'm going, you know, I always tell people, I said, yeah, I always feel like once Jim gets done doing the regular season, I go, okay, Jim, I'll take over. I'll take over now. Good job, son. I'll do the postseason.
So I was thinking about, like, too, the other connection people have. So when you talk about the Byron Alito game, so that would have been 93 maybe, or 92, fall of 93. So my this is like the impact of local radio. So my late father-in-law was buried with that game tape because he listened to that game so much. And so many people would tell stories to Nikki about, you know, your dad's in the back pasture and he fell asleep in the truck and there's some high school football game going on in the cassette player, and it's of course Byron and Alito.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, so many people have those memories, and that was such a, when you look at like kind of from, I guess, what, probably 88 to then throughout the 90s when Coach McCarty was here,
right,
and then that segued into Coach Welter. It just seemed like every Saturday for those 5 weeks in the during the playoffs, there was just like high drama games.
Oh yeah, no, and I kid about this. People say, well, you get so excited. And yeah, and one of the reasons is financially, we really needed Alito to win, because after 88, people go, oh, you get rich doing the playoffs. Say, yeah, no, it's a great financial benefit to the station. But after 88, if a team doesn't go to the state finals, we don't make as much money as the year before. And so, a lot of that excitement is, yes, we got another week of football, you know, because that's what helped pay the bills. And maybe we get a new tape recorder this year because we did the playoffs or something like that.
And I think, too, the other thing that I like about it, for me, you know, because I came here in 1990, and for me, it's going to be so weird on Friday nights when you're not on the air. I think that's going to be so weird. And I know, and I'm not comparing you to this, but it's like when you become so accustomed on the radio to hear like the voices you've heard, and you just to kind of expect that on Friday nights. And I just think of how long you and Chuck Lawson did it.
Yeah.
And you know, I know, and Chuck's coming back for that.
Yeah.
Two games. That's going to be so awesome.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
That is going to be so, so awesome. But to me, the other thing that I think is so important, your talent on the air is no question, but is great. But I still think there's the connection between the listener and the broadcaster, and that's something you and Chuck have always had.
You know?
And I think that's so important. And I think this station, I mean, I really feel we're going to miss that for a little bit, because people are just so accustomed to, hey, Hoshi did it this way. Well, he's not here.
Right. Well, it's like Ty taking over Sports Desk. I mean, I did that for 42
years. Yeah, that's the other
years,
thing.
So.
But here's the other thing, too, about impact. And this isn't any, like, disrespect on the new owners, but I'm going to say, because you've been on the air for so long, it'll be 6 years down the road, and somebody I'll cross paths with in Alito somewhere, and they'll say, how's John Hoshi doing? You know, well, he hasn't owned the station for like 9 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no.
You know, I mean, so that's the other connection that you have. So we need to take a quick commercial break.
Yeah, we got
to
pay the bills.
Yeah, as John just mentioned, and we'll come back with more with John Hoshi.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com with Ty Taylor, and of course visiting with John Hoshite, who's down the final stretch here at WRMJ. And we think a lot about, well, let's play some inside baseball here broadcasting-wise, especially on remote locations when we're broadcasting. And I think, you know, people don't realize how it works where it would be one thing if we just had to show up and broadcast,
right?
Like we're just broadcasting the game, no spotter. And by, if people don't know, you know, the term spotter is usually a play-by-play guy at Fox Television has a spotter right next to him, telling him who's carrying the ball, who's making the tackle. That doesn't happen in small market radio. You're engineering the whole game. Yeah, right. You're keeping stats by yourself. There's not a, you know, a sports information office giving you the stats. So you're in charge of everything. In some of the locations, and I'm not whining because it is high school sports, right, it is what it is, but how that, it took me a while to learn this. I mean, you it takes some sweat equity to get comfortable in some of these situations. So for a guy that has done it since 1979, come on, man.
Well,
spill the goods on some of the locations you've broadcast from.
Well, the technology, of course, is just unbelievable how much it's gotten better. And when we first started, if a press box, we'd be lucky if it had a phone line, we'd use that. And then we used the MARTA unit, it was called, and we could use it from Monmouth to Little York and here. Rockridge, it was in Sherrard, but so, and that was a pain trying to make sure you got the antenna high enough and where it needs to be to
connect to the tower.
Yeah, okay. So, first worst place was Bill Piper and I are doing a Yorkwood playoff game the year they went to state. And they were playing Hardin-Calhoun. And we show up at Hardin-Calhoun, and their press box, I mean, is a cracker box. Alexis's press box, by the other smallest one, and didn't have room for us, of course, and really didn't have room for us. And so we broadcast from the bleachers at the 20-yard line, sitting in the first row. So you're having to look around the players, and wet the field, and even if it was marked, you couldn't see the stripes. You had to kind of glance and go, okay, that's they got the ball about here, and you had to look at the scoreboard where the ball was. That was really bad. And then one time at Knoxville,
that's the old field at Knoxville.
We have a courtesy line. Oh, great, you know. And I get over there, and it's not working, and it's impossible to get it working in time for the game. So I went down. They had a door that went out towards one of the teams, took to the locker room, and next to it was the athletic director's office. So I took the athletic director's telephone and put it on a cord and stretched it as far as I could, and then took stood in that hallway and broadcast the game. With the phone up to my ear. I could see the scoreboard at one end of the floor. When the ball came down to my end of the floor and went to the corner, I had no idea what
this
was happening.
This is basketball you're talking about?
Yeah, basketball. Okay. I had no idea what was going on in the corner. And I did the game standing there and trying to keep the scorebook, as you said.
Oh, holy cow.
And talk and do the game. Those were probably the two worst situations. Yeah.
And then I can't remember. You told me this is when I think in the height of Aledo, their playoff runs. And I think you were, I don't know if it was a playoff game or a regular season game, and you know, touchdown Aledo, touchdown Green Dragon, you're playing somebody, and you could tell some, you know, the the PA announcer, the clock operator, they're kind of getting half PO'd about it because Alito's running the ball up there, whatever, you know, and you're like, and you did this description where you're like, you know, kind of shielding your mouth. Touchdown, Alito, touchdown, Dragons.
That was,
where was that at?
That was at Stark County.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we were sitting in the stands, too. So I'm sitting in the stands at the top of the stands on the Stark County side, just below the press box. And we're killing them, and I'm doing going off, and all of a sudden, boy, those Rebel fans start turning around looking like and giving me the evil eye. And so then I kind of like, touchdown, Alito, touchdown, Green Dragon.
Well,
28-0.
Yeah. And we'll be back after this. And I was telling Ty this week, so I was doing, I'm not going to name the school, but people can figure it out. And even Glenn Cook called me about this and said, man, so I get to a location this week, and we're getting ready to broadcast the game, and the administrator at the school says, do you need power? I'm like, well, if ESPN shows up here and they want to broadcast the game, and you would ask them, do you need power? And then and then there's like a press box with like 11 windows, and I'm like, we can't be up in the press box. And they're like, well, there's people up there talking. And I'm like, okay. That's what we do as broadcasters. It's just frustrating that some people that are, and this is the exception and not the rule. Yeah. All the people we deal with here locally, they're top notch. Love them. I wish some other schools could learn from them. But anyway,
it cracks you up. Yeah. I was telling you earlier about the Alexis press box, and you know that was the old shoe game and everything. But at Alexis, it was very small. So there was Bill Piper, who wasn't a little guy. Me, and I always draw a blank on the scoreboard operator, and George Lafferty. And our shoulders were touching each other in that press box. There was no room at all. And doing games from that press box. And that's the famous when the Turley kid returns the...
Yeah, well, that was George, the late George Lafferty. Yeah, what did he say again? Because that's just the funny
story. So I'm going there. Turley to the far sideline. He's down. He's the 30, 20. He's going to score. And you just hear George, because he's sitting right next to me. He goes, oh, no.
PA system.
And it's not, you can hear it on the tape on the game. And I was like, oh, no. So, yeah, that was a crazy game.
And then did you know... So when Alito first signed on, so we initially, you know, I knew the story. Initially, Roger Coleman was the owner.
Right.
Originally simulcast with
Ram. Because we did, because of that, we were the nighttime voice of Ram because it was a daytime station. So for the first X amount of years, we did the game of the week. We just didn't do Alito. And quite frankly, there were certain Alito games that we didn't do because – we'd get crushed. And and that's why we did Yorkwood. And so we, and then finally, when we started getting better, and then I bought the station, then we went to, we just finally decided the heck with it. Coming into 1988, when they went to state, we just said, we're just going to do Mercer County or Alito from here on out.
So I have a question, like, in terms of, like, sports coverage, because we talk about this a lot here. There are so many, like, communities that have radio stations around here. Like, Princeton's an example, where they've been so good athletically the past, you know, 5 or so years, and nobody covers them. So for you, like, when you started and have run it all the way through, you know, 45 years, was there ever, like, any doubt that this station would always cover, like, local high school sports?
Oh, no, not as long as I was owning it. Because I grew up in a small town of Henry, 2,700, about 1,000 people less than Alito. And being an athlete, I really liked it. It was a big deal. If the only station that ever really did our games was WLPO in La Salle, Peru.
Oh,
Art Kimball.
Yeah, okay.
Art
Kimball.
Yeah, so if Art Kimball showed up.
Yeah, you know. It
was prime time. It was a big game. And the Peoria stations totally ignored us, you know. And that's why I'd listen to Art Kimball in the morning to hear his sports desk show. Because he'd say, John Hoshide had a couple of hits today and stuff like that. So I just knew. And then also Bill Piper in Monmouth, they had a sports desk. And he had a Saturday show. And so we just incorporated that. You know, here in Alito.
And here's the other thing I can speak to. You know, the primary schools we've covered over the years, of course, Alito / Mercer County / Westmer, Rockridge, Girard, orient mm-hmm. kind of borderline coverage. But the other thing that I know that the stations made the impact, like the schools, like the schools we cover outside of our territory that, you know, we're such homers rooting for the local teams, but we've developed the relationships with those other visiting schools. You know, I think that's the other power of the station about those people. Like, I think about the Tom Weir's visit Farmington and, you know, developed great friendships with him because we've crossed paths. Kelly Sears at Macomb, you know, some of those Olympic conference days right. where we'd want to, you know, like Glenn Cook says, I only say I hate Sherrard because I want to beat their brains out, you know, whatever. But, yeah. I mean, it's just like us. I'm like, I always tell Sears or Weir's, but I want to beat you guys down at the barn so much. But I had such great respect for the program. And then you develop these kind of great relationships with them over the years. I think that's the other connection with what we've done at this radio station.
Well, too. It's just like yesterday I listened to Ty, you know, doing the game, and I text a friend of mine whose daughter plays for Riverdale. I said, by the way, I said, Scott, I said, just to let you know, if you didn't see it, we're broadcasting today's game if you want to let other Riverdale fans or you want to tune in, you know, type of thing. And that's, yeah. The internet's just been
and I know
unbelievable.
We had a few people that were, you know, Riverdale fans or whatever, lived in the district, were let us know they were listening last night. And they're a school, too, that, like, is a great example of that because just, like, the past few years we've done a lot of their games because they've been, you know, very good in boys basketball. And, like, we always get great compliments from the people over there. Obviously, they're very close to the Quad Cities in Port Byron and always very appreciative of the coverage, which is cool. And I love all those people over at Riverdale, Coach Kelly, Coach Dierks, everybody.
Yeah, Coach Hatch.
Yep, Coach Hatch, of course, awesome. Yeah.
I got to tell this story before I forget it because I went through my notes yesterday to try to remember stuff. When we first went on the air, Rock Ridge was the basketball power. I just noticed from
– And they still are. Yeah,
from 79 to 83 and then again 85 to 88, they were the regional champs. Well, in 84, the great rivalry was Monmouth and Rock Ridge. And Rock Ridge had Frank Dexter as their head coach and
Mike Mueller
for Monmouth. And it just – the post-game shows with those two guys were just hilarious because Frank would come on and, we didn't do the box out right and just rah, 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 rah. And Mike would come on, I was so proud of our zippers today. How we ever beat the Rockets, I'll never know. Oh, they just overcame all the odds to win. And just and I'm going, cut it, Mike. Come on, you cut it out. So anyway, it was just hilarious. Well, in '84, we did the Monmouth games all the way to state. They lost to Lawrenceville, and I forgot this. Because I know we did the game.
Was that Marty the Mule they played
yes,
against?
Yes, yeah.
Marty Simmons?
Yeah, yeah. Ron Felling? Ron Felling was the coach. Anyway, in that year, in 84, Monmouth beat Rockridge in the regional championship game 73-72.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
You remember that game?
There were so many battles like that they had over those years. I mean, every game was a war. And I just, yeah. And then the other famous game, basketball game, it was infamous for Alito. And it was infamous for Sportsline, too, was Alito's playing Monmouth with that team. And Mike Mueller was their star center.
I know this
and
story.
He was going to set the school scoring record. And in the third quarter, they're killing us. And he gets fouled. He goes to the line. He makes two free throws. Mike Mueller, new scoring record at Monmouth High School. And they take him out of the game. And then to start the fourth quarter, he's jumping center and plays the fourth quarter. And they kill us like 129-38 or something like that. And two fathers for Alito, I've drawn a blank on their names. By the time Mike Mueller had, you know, in the Monmouth shoebox gym, by the time Mike Mueller had risen to his feet, they were in his face. And they're just chewing his butt out about running the score up on us. So then... And earlier that week, they had beaten Sherrard like 90-30. and Dave Swanson was the coach.
Doug Swanson?
Doug Swanson, yeah. So anyway, we're leaving the gym. And I got to tell Bill Piper, he was just a great guy and very fair. He was, he taught at Monmouth High School. And we run into Mrs. Mueller in the vestibule. And she goes, "My, those Alito people were really upset." And Bill goes, "Well, Mary," or whatever her name was, "Mary," he says, "I think they had every right to be upset, Mary. That was not nice, you know." So anyway, so Swanson's our guest. Back then, the guys always came in live for the show. And Dave comes in and he goes, "What happened last night in Monmouth?" And then he goes, "That SOB beat us 90-39 on Tuesday." And then, you know, da 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 da. Oh, he was so mad. Yeah.
So I was thinking too, and maybe these are unfair questions. Best team you think you've ever covered? Because every time we'll get in, like my brother-in-law Pat Lohr, we always talk about, you know, there's, and a lot of people do it around town with the, you know, the 98 Dragons. How would they fare against the 94 Dragons or whatever, you know? I mean, do you think there's a best team any school?
Well, I think it's just a crying shame that the lower Fry teams, as I call it, didn't win a state title. And then the worst defeat that I just was crushed
by the Cole City game,
because we had that game won. We'd upset them. They complete the pass in the flat, and I'm ready to say, "He's tackled, that's it, we win, we're going to state." And then the first kid misses him. And then the next kid tries to shove him out of bounds and doesn't quite get him out of bounds. And then the third kid misses him, and down the sideline he goes and scores and wins the game for him. And it's just like, oh, that was a...
Yeah, and Cole City's, what, 4A or 5A now?
Yeah, and then the team, what was the team that got beat at Stillman Valley in the snow?
That would have been Nick Bowles' class. That would have been Mike. Was that McCarty's last year?
Might have been.
97?
Yeah, they were really good.
I think
they were really
good. They blew out everybody during the regular season that year.
Yeah, just crushed them. And then probably this the second Brett Lee, or the final Brett Lee, 2001 to 2002?
Yeah, did they finish 14-0 that year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they were pretty good too.
Had a couple people reach out and say they're listening today. Bill Breeden, of course, and then Matt Randazzo sent us a nice message. He's having it. He was listening to high school softball last night too. Randazzo,
so
our friends.
a few people have asked me, you know, how do you think you're going to process this when you're not, like, to me, like I said, man, just not being able to do it anymore, and like the Friday night connection. Now you're doing one more game, and maybe you haven't thought about it that much, but not.
I don't know. I'm thinking I may, you know, we're planning to move to St. Louis to be near our daughter. And I'm thinking I may go over to my son-in-law's alma mater, DeSmet, and say, "Anybody do your games or anything like that?" or help teach kids, or one of the Parkway. They live in the Parkway School District.
So it'll be John Hoschek broadcasting down there, like with a former St. Louis football card.
Ram. Yeah. Or he'd be like, "Coach Breeden, you want to come down to St. Louis every Friday night?"
The other funny thing is, it's funny now, is when we go on road trips, Chuck and I and Bill, and early on, few years ago, these two guys are getting older, you know, and they're having all their ailments, and so we're driving and they're saying, "Hey Chuck, how's your hip? Oh, my hip's killing me, and what's this?" And they're talking about this, and then finally I started to join them, so the three of us old guys are going to the games, all telling everybody, each of us, "Well, what's wrong with you?" I'm doing this. And
I remember last year I went with you guys, you and Coach Breeden, to Kewaunee when Mercer County played Anna and Weathersfield, and that was the big joke all the way there, was you guys would keep asking me if anything was wrong with me yet.
So I went the one year. This was, So I went with, it was Coach Breeden, you, and Chuck Clawson, and we drove all the way across the state to Clifton Central. I remember that one day, and how much fun that was. Just like the conversation before.
That is one of the fun parts of it, is like the drives with people, like all the way across the state. There's a lot of funny conversations that happen.
My follow-up question about the best team. So you kind of answered it a little bit. Yeah. So everybody around town in the county now, they're discussing it. For me, I always tell people, best team I've ever seen in any sport was when Ethan Happ was a senior. They didn't win it all. But that's just the way it is. I mean, you can lose.
You got to have luck.
That's right. You always say that, and I always circle back to that, is you've got to have luck, because there's some weird thing that's going to happen. Best player you think you've ever seen in any sport? And by best player, just like at the high school level, not what they went on to do collegially, but like that could impact a game or any, and that can be, you know, maybe a multi-sport athlete or just a football player or a basketball player or whatever.
I'm trying to think of there are some good ones. The Mel Blasey for Monmouth, guard, good golfer. He was good. I mean, of course, Michael O'Brien, Logan Lee. I got to do a couple of his games because you couldn't do them, so I did his. Tyson Blazer.
Yeah.
Eric Lawson.
And then I too, yeah. I always appreciated your honesty of broadcasting. And this is one of the things that I've learned from you is people can get PO'd at you in this business.
Okay.
Yes. Right? And you're not, and to be quite honest, you're not really doing your job unless people get PO'd at you at some point. And I tell people, like, you know it, covering local news, not everybody gonna like you.
No.
Because you gotta speak the truth and you report on some stuff on people that they're not going to like hearing about it, but yeah, that's part of the job.
No, later, as I got older and a little crankier, I had to tell myself in football, John, once again, these are just high school kids. Right. You got it. Because the problem is the tradition, and especially at Aledo and Mercer County, was winning. And so when we're not winning the way we used to win, it gets frustrating. And I got to admit, sometimes with the kids, their behavior on the field just bugs me. And
But I was even talking about how you handle, like, you know, some coaches couldn't be happy with you sometimes, too.
Well, Coach Welter.
But you always do a good job of, hey, this is, you know, I'm still trying to be professional here, and you have to understand what my job is. And I want you to do as a great job as possible. And I think that's the other compliment I think is a testament to your career is, and I love this too, is when we've worked with coaches for so long and they leave and maybe they get a better job, but they always tell you, man, the one thing I miss
about is us covering
it is, man, the radio station. Yeah. They're having the local station covering our program.
Right.
And that coverage. You know, and I think that's like, and I always remember those conversations with Bill McCarty would always say that. That's one of the biggest things I've missed in my career after I left Aledo is not having that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope, a lot of great coaches over the year, a lot of fun, a lot of inside stories.
So, and you've been doing it so long that you've had two generations of Taylors work as sports
Yeah,
directors.
I was just going to say.
What about that?
Yeah, I told people, I said, once I start doing grandkids games, that's it. I'm getting out. I'm doing sons games.
But, and then all three of your daughters worked here.
Yeah.
So what have they, like, what have they thought about, like, the transition and all that?
Oh, I think they're happy for me and all that stuff. I know Lisa came back, especially with Leo, to have a picture taken with him in the press box. So he could,
I love that
he
picture.
He could say he saw me broadcast, so to speak. But yeah, no, they're good. It was great having them all three, you know, work here.
And I know we're running out of time with John. He's supposed to be gone by 9:40. It's 9:45. Oh, geez. So I know for you, like, as we just wrap up with you. Anything like, do you expect you'll still probably be, because my favorite thing about John is he always tells me, oh, I listened to the sports desk this morning, or like last night he's texting me about, oh, the Cardinals game got delayed till 7:55, make sure you let everybody know. So when you're, like, you know, not living in Aledo or Mercer County anymore, do you expect yourself to still be listening to high school sports on WRNJ?
I will be, but I will not be calling in and telling you what to do anymore. Yeah, that to be honest with you, that'll be one thing. It's you know, I've sold the station, but it's still my baby, and it's just passing stuff along. I will miss that, and yet, but I will be listening. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll be listening to the ball games and seeing what's still following things. For
all
sure.
Right. So week two, Ray Lang's getting mad at Ty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, me.
Week two, it'll be John with his final broadcast, doing local football, take Mercer County hosting Sherrard. That's a way to finish it at Pratt Memorial Field Week 2.
Yeah, we had some great.
And Chuck Clausen will be doing that game too.
Sherrard game with Chuck, one of the most famous games is the snow game at Dunlap.
Oh, yeah. That was when Eric Clausen was the quarterback back then.
Yeah, yeah. And then I ran into Coach.
That's when the equipment froze too.
We just held the phone and just did it. And you couldn't see where they were on the field. And I found out later from Coach Schaefer that he saw me somewhere, and he goes, I got a bone to pick with you. And I said, why is that? And he said, you got on me for calling a option play on the goal line against Dunlap that failed miserably. And he says, I want you to know, he said, I did not call that option play. He says, Lawson audible to it. and he said, I'm going, no. And he ran the play and it failed miserably. And of course, how can you run an option in the snow? and whatever. So, yeah, stories like that are that.
All right, go enjoy your day on the golf course, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for bringing radio to a
Thanks for everything.
We got June 15th coming up, 10 to 2 for our open house. Yeah. We'll be talking more about this that day, too.
All right.
Thanks, guys. John.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more on WMJ in a moment.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
The latest styles from the hottest brands. That is 6140 Run in Galesburg. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run. The Brooks Glycerin 22 and Ghost 16s. The Mizuno Horizon 7s and 25% off Saucony Ride 17s and Triumph 22s. These shoes keep you comfortable every step of the way. Get new kicks at great prices. Available right now at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
All right, sports on a Saturday morning. So I know we're going to talk about Rockridge here momentarily, right, with the softball. And by the way, state track taking place today. Mercer County has the 4x4, 4x8. They have two relays.
Yes.
And then the Z-Man, Alex Arlotanis, and Vaughn Frere are alive in the shot and discus for Rockridge. And you mentioned Matt Randazzo was listening today, Coach Cook listening today. Coach Breeden. I thought Coach Cook told me that he was never going to listen to the station ever again because John Nelson one-upped him and he's doing softball.
No, listen, Coach Cook said, he said if Coach Nelson wants to do it, he can do it. So that was
I'm just
via
kidding
Coach
you,
Cook's,
Coach Cook.
That was his grace.
Yeah. All right, and then great local softball on today at 11 a.m. with our friends at WRAM-WMOI. Tune in to if you want to listen to local high school softball because it's a good one. I'm going to be listening to it.
Me
it's
too.
West Central and Ridgewood, a battle of LTC supremacy. That should be a good game.
And
today,
they're
Sean.
Playing in Williamsfield. It's an LTC battle all around.
Milltown. So Sean Temple listening this morning, and they do a great job covering. Yep. High school sports,
that's
no question about
in
it.
In 11 o'clock first pitch, I believe they'll be on the air around 10:30, 10:45.
Right.
Listen to them. It should be a great game.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see Temple down in Peoria in
a couple
weeks.
What did West Central and Ridgewood do during the regular season?
West Central swept them.
All right. Man, that'll be – I tell you, that atmosphere should be great today
be great.
Between those two local schools. Great to have John on today. And I told him, I mean, he's had the biggest – impact on me, and I guess the great ones like him. When I asked him who had an impact on him, he's basically kind of it's his blueprint. That's why it's this station the way it is. So
And I know I feel the same way. I couldn't be more thankful for being able to work with John and learn from him. And I know, like you said, sometimes people can get upset with him about stupid stuff, but when he's gone in a few months, not that he's dying, it's just he's going to be moving. People will really miss him, and I know I will, and I think years down the line, the legacy of him will be like, man, it's too bad that Hochschild isn't around here anymore.
Unequivocally, man, it's he's synonymous with this station.
Yep.
Whatever the history is, it's always him and the boilerplate of what local radio is all about. Because that this is all I've known in my life of what radio is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I out of college, I've worked here, and this is how if people say explain local radio. I'll say two words. John Hoshite. Yep. Go have a conversation with him. Any station owner around the area, if they want to, whatever, if they want to see how local radio works, talk to John Hoshite. Because here's the other weird thing about John that I always tell this story. The one thing that I'm really going to miss about him, and I already kind of do miss, his handwriting with felt tip pens was so awesome because my handwriting sucks. It's terrible. And I always love the fact when I would write something down on these like master schedules with my handwriting, he'd always take his felt tip pen and correct like over it. So I'm going to miss that. So his like record keeping is so awesome. And his like preparation has always been so meticulous. And I learned a lot of that from him other than his handwriting. But anyway, I mean, that's kind of the impact he's had on me.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I think that like this station, especially like with, because we're talking about local sports mostly, like games that are broadcast on the air, I just have always thought, and I mean, no offense to anybody else, right? But I think that like for WRMJ, it sounds the best when John Hoshite's doing the play-by-play, I think.
Oh, and especially in the high drama moments. And that the one highlight you play at the open of Sports Line with the Mercer County, and was that from the Bloomington Central Catholic game?
Yep.
Where that's like pure prime John Hoshite form. And when you look at those playoff runs Mercer Alito had in the 90s, in the early 2000s, ain't nobody better.
And like we talked about earlier, that game that Mercer County and Rock Ridge played in the regional championship in boys basketball this year, John hadn't done basketball regularly in 10 years, probably, maybe even more than that. And he did an amazing job, like just capturing the drama of that game, the emotion with it. Because I remember listening to it back, I was like, man, this is absolutely incredible. And he did such a good job that night, just filling in, you know.
Well, and then he I always think John's post game interviews, he's mastered those.
Yeah,
and I thought, not even like basketball, listening to that, when he talked to Coach Harris from Rock Ridge in a high drama game like that, and Coach Seedam, even like listen, I just think that you know his style and just how he's done it for so many years, par excellence.
Yep, there's really nobody better, like in terms of covering like high school sports. John Hoshite's just the best. He really is.
All right, so again, he's like Ty said, he's not dying. He's officially. Like
we're doing a tribute show.
So he's his last day. Basically, he's still kind of working. What do you say, like part time? Still sells
10 or 15 hours.
So he'll
still does a lot for this place that we're gonna miss when he's gone. Even though he's not working as much.
August 1st is I think his officially last day. He's doing one more football game. That's it. Week 2, Mercer County and Sherrard at Pratt Memorial Field, and Chuck's coming back for that, so that'll be awesome. I hope I don't have a game that I got to broadcast here that night, because I'd like to listen to that anyway. So that's, you know, like pure WRMJ form. All right, so the Rockets.
Well, why don't we take a break and come back, because we have to get through two more commercial breaks still, because John wouldn't stop talking.
It's nice to hear Peyton Hutchins doing some remotes, man. Awesome stuff.
All right, we'll come back and talk about the Rock Ridge Rockets winning, if you can believe it, an 8th consecutive softball sectional championship after this on WRMJ.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but do they have great local customer service and support? When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
It is the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. We're down to 1 week of the high school sports season. That's next week for 1A, 2A, and we still have, we get to the last week of the season again. It seems like we say this every year because the Rock Ridge softball.
8 years in a row.
That's right. So they play in the super sectional on Monday against the Beecher Bobcats. This is really a marquee matchup. 11 a.m. first pitch, 10:30 broadcast. They play it from the Eastside Center in East Peoria, which was the former home of the girls' state softball finals. And a lot of people have been talking about this collision course from really early, I think even last year probably, or at least when the postseason assignments were out. So Riverdale scored, what was that, the third or the fourth inning?
They third inning.
4-2. That's kind of
no,
almost...
No, 2-1.
2-1, excuse me. And then got some key hits. Third inning, that's kind of the middle of a softball game. And but, you know, the heart of a state champion, that's nothing. And, you know, blink your eyes and it's 11-2.
10 unanswered runs, 3 in the fourth, 4 in the fifth, 3 more in the sixth. And, you know, Rock Ridge turned a game that they were trailing in the middle innings into, you know, another route. And we were talking, I was talking with Coach Nelson on the broadcast about this last night. Is I remember Rock Ridge lost a game to Ridgewood in late March, and then they lost another game about a month later. And I remember someone had asked me, like, boy, what's wrong with Rock Ridge? I'm like, what's wrong with Rock Ridge? Like, they've lost two games. Like, and I said this too, it's like, if any other team or program had the season they're having, they're now 33-1 with a tie in there. And they won another sectional championship. There's nothing wrong with them. They're a great team. And, you know, it's a credit to, like, the program, because last year, and we talked about this at the end of the season last year too, is Rock Ridge had 5 seniors on that team graduate that were all great players. Right. And they had a 6th starter from last year, Estella Bogner, who's a junior this year. She's been hurt for the second half of the season. Is going to have to get shoulder surgery, I believe, and is out. Is not going to return. So they lost 6 starters from that team, and you blink your eyes, and you get to this part of the season, and in the sectional championship game, they're up by 9 runs in the 7th inning. I mean, that program is just, they're the best program in the state. And there's no argument. They just are.
Yeah, there's no question about that. In any sport, they're the best program, basically. You're going for 4 state titles in a row. You're just in a league.
And that's just, you look at it, what, boys basketball in the state has Simeon.
Yeah.
Football has Loyola. Softball has Rock Ridge. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Well, and so I want you to say, so Rock Ridge gets down 2-1.
Yep.
So when they took the 4-2 lead, what did Kendra Lewis do that very next inning when she got the ball on the mound?
1-2-3.
Right? 1-2-3, I'm shutting you down.
Yep.
And you think about all the shutdown innings that kid has had. In
24-0 in the postseason, that was her record.
that to me, I mean, when you just talk about the legacy of it's a team game. Yep. I get that, but when you give a kid a ball and say we are relying on you again today, and to do that 24 times in a row
in the playoffs, and then the other thing. So her career record now, I believe, is 84-3. She's thrown a little under 600 career innings. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. She got her 800th career strikeout last night, and her career ERA is 0.94, I think. I mean, and that's in the sample size of like 570 innings. I mean, that is just absolutely unbelievable. And then, of course, and we talk about this too, she might even be a better hitter than she is a pitcher. Yeah. I mean, I know like the pitching numbers are really eye-popping, but she is just at the plate is so scary when she's in there. Oh, my goodness.
And it's been nice to hear Coach Nelson help. I just – it's got to be – I wouldn't wonder how – he's such a he loves the game so much, but just like from a broadcast, from a, you know, being in the dugout to being in the broadcast booth where you still know a lot of those kids that you coached over the years. I just wonder what that perspective is like for him. He's a true natural.
He's really good. He's got a great personality and everything, and he's been amazing to work with, and he's so obviously intelligent about the game and too about the kids who are playing too. I mean, he knows everything there is to know about softball in the Quad Cities area. So like that Rock Ridge Riverdale game was just like absolute perfect for him. Yeah. I mean, he knows all those kids, and the thing I like is he said, you know, Coach Durbin, he keeps the same signs, so he's like stealing their signs and telling me exactly what they're going to be doing, or like even the opponent, he's like, this is probably what they're going to do, and then he's like Tony Romo, where it's like the next thing, it's like, yep, there's a bunt. Or
so what does he think? What did he say about the matchup Monday? Then what does he?
Well, I think he is like a lot of people, where it's disappointing that that's the super sectional game, and I don't know what the reason is. If they're trying to get different teams down to state, because Rock Ridge and Beecher are there every year. But because I think it's weird that Beecher's coming all the way to East Peoria to play in the super section. I just don't understand how that works logistically. But it's going to be a great game. I mean, I was shocked that I thought Rock Ridge was better than last year, but I was surprised they beat him 7-1. The Lauren Zotti girl who pitches for them is just a sophomore. Incredible. Like Coach
is,
Nelson,
she, is she a commit or not?
Not yet. But yet. Coach Nelson said she's power five easily. And both pitchers have career ERAs under zero, or I should say under one, in the zeros, with Kendra and then Lauren Zotti for them. So it should be a very quick-moving, fast game in East Peoria. Get there on time or you're going to miss an inning or two. Runs will be at a premium. It will be a great game. There will be a huge atmosphere there. I mean, it's the marquee game in the state next on Monday, I should say. Rock Ridge and Beecher, they've combined to win the last six 2A softball state titles. Rock Ridge beat them in the championship last year. The Rockets continuing their quest to become the first team in IHSA history to win four straight softball state titles. They're now three wins away, and I think their biggest hurdle is probably in the super sectional. And I think both teams' biggest hurdle is Monday.
And Kevin Hayhurst, he's still the head coach of Beecher softball, so he's developed quite the legacy. And then this is the second Beecher Rock Ridge matchup this school year, right? Because you drove over to Beecher for the basketball matchup on the boys' side, which was a big game. But Beecher Rock Ridge got off to a great start that night, and then Beecher came alive and said, "We're gonna make some noise on our court." And that was one of those marquee matchups that I know people around the state looked at and said, "Wow, Beecher's the real deal this year."
Yep, and I think, like I said, the softball audience in the state, that's the game that everyone will be paying attention to the most on Monday, is the rematch of last year's state championship game between, you know, probably the two best softball programs in the state playing each other.
Well, and that's the other thing about, you know, to kind of circle back to the legacy of John Hoscheid, who's here today. This station has broadcast every single postseason softball game of Rock Ridge. Everyone.
Yeah.
Haven't missed one. Everyone dating back to their first trip to Mineral Springs Park in Pekin.
Yep, all their state title runs.
We have every one of those broadcasts on tape recorded here.
Yep.
So I remember the first game I did at the state tournament, Darren Mazzari was with me at Mineral Springs Park in Pekin, and then they went to Eastside Center. We broadcast all the games there, and then the Louisville Slugger Complex. I still like Eastside Center the best. I love the playing into the hillside.
Yeah, me too.
There, which
Kendra Lewis hit a ball like halfway up the hill last year. She hit two home runs at the Eastside Center.
And I think it's just, I don't know, the ambiance at Eastside Center was a little bit better because there's all these like batting cages and stuff at the championship dugout, the championship field, which is a great field at Louisville Slugger Complex, but you can't sit on the hillside or in the outfield at the Louisville Slugger Complex like you can.
The thing I like about the Louisville Slugger setup, though, is it's like the stadium seating.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's a really impressive park, and you can just, like, that field, you know you're playing. And I like that they didn't play on that field at the sectional. They played on the auxiliary diamond over there in the stadium portion of the complex. It's just a really special feel when you're playing and a game's going on there, I think. And I remember when I got there last year, that was the first time I had been to the softball state finals, and there was some 1A semifinal game going on. I'm like, wow, this is loud. It should be a lot of fun.
So it was really strange because the year out of the pandemic, They didn't play. They played all state tournament games on the auxiliary diamonds, and you didn't get to play on the championship diamond for some reason that year. Yeah, so that Rock Ridge wins the state title. But I love the – or maybe they did play the state championship game, but the semifinals were on the auxiliary diamonds. But they play at the state tournament now. Every one of the games are on the main diamond, and you have the warm-up on the auxiliary diamonds.
And also one more thing I want to say about that game coming up on Monday. If you – you know, like Interscholastic Athletics or enjoy softball, you should go to Eastside Center in East Peoria. It'll be a great game. Like I said, a great atmosphere. And if you go, you should get there early enough to watch Rock Ridge take infield before the game.
Yeah.
Like sitting right behind home plate the past two games for them, Wednesday and Friday, it is so... I mean, it's my favorite part of doing their games is watching them warm up. It is just... they put on an absolute show, and... I just like it because what I do is I watch them, and then I watch the kids on the other team watching them, and you can tell it's like they're a lot of games they win before the first pitch is even thrown, because it's like, I mean, they just are so loud, and they just zip the ball around. They never even bobble it. I mean, it just is absolutely – it's such a show, their warm-up. It's
a game within a game.
And I remember Kevin Hieronymus tweeted that out when he was covering Rock Ridge play St. Bede earlier in the season. Which was the two defending state champions in 1A and 2A. And he's even put on Twitter, he was like, or X or whatever. He's like watching, he was like, Rock Ridge softball's warm-ups are an absolute thing of beauty. And it is. It's unbelievable.
And people will say, who's Kevin Hieronymus? Do you want to fill in on who Kevin Hieronymus is?
He's the sports editor at the Bureau County Republican. Does a great job covering
He's the expert of the Three Rivers Conference East Side.
Yep.
So... all right, so we need to take one more commercial break.
One more break, yeah.
All right, let's do that, and back to wrap up Sportsline for 23-24.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
The latest styles from the hottest brands. That is 6140 Run in Galesburg. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run. The Brooks Glycerin 22 and Ghost 16s. The Mizuno Horizon 7s and 25% off Saucony Ride 17s and Triumph 22s. These shoes keep you comfortable every step of the way. Get new kicks at great prices. Available right now at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
All right, our high school sports coverage is not over for the school year. We still have Rock Ridge Rocket softball coverage coming up Monday and hopefully next Friday and Saturday from Louisville Slugger Complex. But this is the last sports line of the 2023-2024 school year. Now, there is the potential we might do like a bonus, like summer edition. Who knows? We might think about doing something maybe in late June, early July, something like that, to kind of tell everybody what's going on. Now, there was another item this week. It looks like the IHSA has going to make a final decision on the schedule for state tournament basketball.
Yep.
You want to? I don't have the notes in front of me. What is that again?
So basically, what happened was the IHSA released its like meeting minutes from their basketball advisory committee, and they're going to recommend to the IHSA board, which their next meeting is coming up at some point in June. I don't remember the exact details off the top or the exact date off the top of my head, but basically, what they're looking at doing is switching the state finals schedule to make it a 2-day. Experience for every team that qualifies. So there's four teams that qualify in each of the four classes. So it looks like it'll still be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event, with Thursday having the semifinals of classes 1A, 2A, and 3A. So six games will be played that day. The Friday would be the third place games for 1A, 2A, and 3A. So the losers of the semifinal games in those classes would play each other on Friday, along with the Class 4A semifinals. So that would be five games played on Friday. And then Saturday would be the third place 4A game would be played at 9:30 in the morning. And then they would keep the four state championship games all on Saturday. That's what I thought they should do, and that's what it sounds like the advisory committee is recommending, which means it, I mean, would almost 99.999% be approved, because I know that's been a discussion item for the IHSA for the past few years, is, you know, what's a way to make this schedule work a little bit better in Champaign, and I think that's the best way they can do it.
Yeah, so you're okay with it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the 9:30 a.m. start for the...
Yeah, the semifinals will start at 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, though.
And then kind of buried in that is the advisory. Now, this is what the advisory committee is saying, yep, that if schools want to go full bore with the shot clock next year, even in regular season games, yes, they should be able to do that. Now, the IHSA postseason would still be non-shot clock,
because yes,
they're not going to...
Not until 2026-27, which that...
That story was broke on Double D.
Yes, it was, and that was confirmed in their meeting minutes. So, like you said, though, starting with this upcoming season in 2024-25, they're going to recommend, again, to the full board that the shot clock for tournaments and shootouts, which has been the case, they've needed prior approval from the IHSA. They don't need that anymore. Also, it's going to be up to conferences if they want to use the shot clock. They don't need approval for it. They can use it. And it said, you know, basically the language is in a non-conference game, both schools would have to agree to using it. So starting, you know, this coming year, teams and schools can use the shot clock if they want. I'm not sure locally there will be a lot of that, just because it's going to take a little bit to get
the infrastructure
right. But I think, like, you know, maybe the year after, the year after that, where they start, because 2026-27 is when they're going to use it in the
postseason. Well, schools should be ordering it
right
now.
I think, you know, maybe not this upcoming season, but the next year and definitely the year after, you'll see a lot of schools probably start, and conferences especially, start using it to get ready for the full implementation of it in the 2026-27 school year.
All right, and then just, you know, looking at the calendar, so August 12th, we're talking about this as the new sports season 2024-2025. That's the first official day of fall high school sports practices. That's August the 12th, Monday. So that's for, like, football, volleyball, cross country, golf, and boys soccer. That starts August the 12th. First high school football games can be played officially on Thursday, August the 29th, but all of our local teams will play on Friday, August the 30th. That's the new high school football season. So our first official sports line of the 24-25 school year will be Saturday, August the 24th. That'll be the first sports line previewing the upcoming high school football season, so August 24th.
Exactly 3 months, basically.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of summer off-season stuff will begin probably, I would think, the week after Memorial Day week. So after next week, you'll see, you know, basketball shootouts, summer basketball leagues. I think 7-on-7, most high school football stuff now, they push that kind of to July, but all of those summer workouts start for local schools.
Do you have any favorite memories of the 2023-24 school year for us covering sports?
Yep, me. I always love covering the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament.
Yeah.
And
Macomb Western, you always say it backwards.
Yeah. But I'm the only broadcaster to ever broadcast four teams winning they've won it five times.
They've won
now.
It five times.
I've broadcast every run of Rock Ridge winning the Macomb,
yep,
Western Holiday Tournament, and I'll tell everybody they'll be the favorite,
yes,
next year. But I always love that, and the reason I love that is because the championship game, they say, starts at 9:30, but it's always,
right,
you know, maybe 9:55.
I love
is
that
the
too.
Earliest that starts, and Mercer County's in that field next year. But I always love that. From a listening standpoint, you alluded to it earlier. My favorite memory this year was John broadcasting the Rock Ridge Mercer County basketball game.
Yep,
I thought that was
great.
The best broadcast.
My favorite,
and then a close second, Rock Ridge Sherrard football.
Yep, that was my favorite game that I was a part of. Rock Ridge Sherrard football was an absolute classic, and we love like the local rivalries here. We love when Rock Ridge and Sherrard play, or when Mercer County and Sherrard, Mercer County, Rock Ridge, games like that are just, they're the best. And I know we are all very excited that, you know, the next sports line we have will be previewing Mercer County's football schedule, which will feature Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Orion, Monmouth, Roseville for the first time in an inexplicable 19 years. That is just, it's always to me been the stupidest thing, and I'm so glad that they will be playing schools that they are neighboring in football for the first time in nearly two decades.
Well, and that, and all sports. I mean, the Eagles playing Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Orion in volleyball is going to be so awesome. And then the, you know, the winter sports, you know, including, you know, wrestling, where I know they've always competed against one another, but now to have, you know, an opportunity, because the Mercer County wrestling program hasn't been able to compete for a wrestling conference title. Yep. And now they get to.
Yep.
And that'll be awesome. And just, it's, you know, there'll be a different vibe now. You know,
without
from week
a doubt. So, I remember, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, but Mercer County, their last boys basketball home conference game was against Galva. Okay. Nobody cares. But I think their next one is Monmouth Roseville. People will care about that.
Well, yeah, you'll start seeing some people that haven't been to a game for a while. You'll say, well, it's good to see you back. Well, why are you here? Well, because we're playing the Tigers today, or playing the Rockets. Yep. So that's going to be fun. Great to have John on today again. Listen to John week two of the high school football season. And I'll tell people, too, if you see John around, I mean, he's going to be his last day going to be August 1. You know, you can say what you want to say. But to me, you know, you could pat him on the back, say thank you, send him a card. The impact that this radio station has had on this community is because of him.
Yep.
So, you know, send him a card, send him an email, send him a note. See him on the street.
John at WRMJ.com.
That's right. John at WRMJ.com until August 1. Then they'll disable that.
I know they will.
Or, you know, look up his address, send him a, or you can send him a note here personally at WRMJ, and just, you know, hey, thanks for having such an impact on this community and bringing a small market radio broadcast power to Alito, Illinois. So that's how I'll end it today. Just, you know, I think, you know, take time to do that because he's had an impact. So, and I appreciate, I said it at the beginning of the broadcast, it's had the most significant impact on my life in terms of broadcasting.
Thank you, John Hoshite. No one will ever fill those shoes.
Yep. All right. So 10:30 broadcast time, Monday, Memorial Day.
Yep.
So fire up the grill if you're not going to the game.
You should go to the game,
mow the
though.
Grass. Yeah, that's right. You should go to the game, put the earbuds in. Or I always tell, you know, do it the old-fashioned way. If you're within, you know, listening range, you know, tune that dial to 102.3 FM. I always tell my mom and dad, they live 50 miles away. They want to tune the radio in. Instead of, mom, you know, there's an app. You can just listen to a crystal clear digital broadcast. Oh, no, we got that dial tuned into 102.3 FM, and that's how radio should be anyway. But do it however you want, WRMJ.com. There's a listen live button. You can go to the app, download that, or like I said, you can tune to 102.3 FM, and that'll be a high drama game on Monday, 10:30 broadcast, 11 o'clock first pitch, and then if the Rockets win, they would play Friday. What time is the 2A session?
They would start it. They would play for semifinal at 2 o'clock.
All right. So, and state tournament. Hopefully, you know,
if they win Monday, that'd be their sixth straight trip to state.
We just take for granted that we're going to be there at Louisville Slugger Complex.
It's going to be a battle though. Yeah, Monday,
got a lot of work Monday,
like we said. But I'll close it too. Following Rock Ridge softball is a real pleasure and an honor that we get to cover the best program in the state. And they always provide, you know, these great moments in the postseason. And I'm really hoping that for a kid like Kendra Lewis, who's had one of the greatest, you know, individual careers in the history of IHSA softball, if she could do it and win four state titles to be the first person to ever do that. Like I said, no team has ever done that. She's the only player in the history of the state to be the winning pitcher in three state title games. If Rock Ridge would win a fourth, she would be the winning pitcher in that game too. So I'm hoping that she can do that and really just kind of slam the door on the greatest career that's ever happened.
All right. So you can tune into Ty Taylor and John Nelson Monday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock, first pitch. For the great John Hoshite this morning and Ty Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor. You're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.